This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here with your top stories this Tuesday. A man who was convicted as a sex offender in 2019 is at the center of new regulation changes at the Aspen-Pickens County Housing Authority. A Pickens County district judge revoked that man's probation on Monday. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more.
Judge Laura Maker revoked probation for Henry Forbes Henley after a hearing on Monday. Henley was originally arrested in October for violating probation. She determined he violated provisions that prohibited alcohol and drug use, viewing of sexually explicit materials, and more. After Henley's arrest last fall, residents of the Woody Creek Plaza neighborhood raised concerns with the APSHA board about him living in their neighborhood. They urged APSHA to consider banning sex offenders from the housing program. The board decided to pursue a policy change that would ban people convicted of felony sex offenses during a meeting last week. They will formally vote to implement the policy in March. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
Henley will receive a new sentencing in May. A nonprofit focused on addressing wildlife vehicle collisions is one step closer to constructing wildlife crossings in Pickens County. As Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports, Colorado has become a nationwide leader in wildlife crossings, but the Roaring Fork Valley has yet to see that progress.
According to the Colorado Department of Transportation, more than half of all vehicle collisions in the stretch of highway just north of the Aspen Airport involve wildlife. Constructing wildlife crossings over or under highways has been proven to eliminate the vast majority of those collisions. So Colorado has been building them all over the state. But there aren't any yet in the very dangerous sections of roads in the Roaring Fork Valley. Cecily D'Angelo leads Roaring Fork Safe Passages, a nonprofit focused on making that happen.
We're super lucky. We're in a state that's an advocate of this work. We are in a country that's starting to actually fund this in a bipartisan way. And I think that Pickens County is moving in the right direction.
Safe Passages just raised $200,000 from donations and plans to request the same amount from Pickens County at an upcoming meeting. That would fund a feasibility study for building crossings in the high-impact area near the airport. D'Angelo's also watching a federal bill that could help pay for the structures. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
Basalt's longtime police chief Greg Knott is retiring. He's led the department for 13 years. The town says during his time as police chief, Knott led initiatives focused on transparency and professionalism, modernized departmental policies, and revolutionized the community academy, which included more than 175 community participants over the last 7 years. The town says it will announce plans for a leadership transition in the coming weeks. In statewide news, a Colorado federal judge ordered the Department of Justice back to court to prove that it properly trained ICE agents. CPR's Allison Sherry has more.
Senior U.S. District Judge R. Brooke Jackson seemed exasperated on Wednesday. He told federal lawyers that Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers had a good policy in not detaining people without warrants, and that they aren't following that policy in the second Trump administration. The ACLU sued on behalf of a class of immigrants who were detained without warrants and without any assessment on whether they'd be a flight risk. Jackson, in November, ordered ICE to comply with its own rules. But evidence this year shows they are not complying with that order. Now everyone is heading back to court in March. The onus will be on the federal government to prove they are training agents to follow the order properly. I'm Allison Sherry, CPR News.
A new proposal from Colorado Democrats would end a series of tax breaks for businesses to help pay for a new child tax credit. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods has more.
The move is in large part a response to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that President Donald Trump signed into law last year. The measure significantly reduced Colorado's tax revenue. That triggered a temporary pause in the state's Family Affordability Tax Credit, which provides up to $3,200 per child for families earning $95,000 a year or less. Now Democrats want to create a second similar credit to fill the gap. To pay for it, they'd roll back business tax breaks on the state level that were created or expanded by the federal legislation. They're also proposing several other tax code changes. One would block businesses from deducting the salaries of their highest paid employees, which they can currently do, up to $1 million.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Colorado Mesa University is expanding its thermal energy network as a solution to rising energy costs. CPR Education reporter Jenny Brendine has more.
Crews are currently installing hundreds of underground wells and miles of piping beneath the CMU rugby field. It's part of a geothermal, geo-exchange system that stores heat in the earth to warm buildings in the winter and cool them in the summer. By the time sod is laid in May, the system will be nearly 50% larger, connecting almost 80% of the campus to the geothermal grid. The school says the network already saves $1.5 million in energy costs every year. Jenny Brendine, CPR News.
The state of Colorado says it intends to join a key global group that tracks outbreaks of disease. CPR health reporter John Daly reports.
Last month, the Trump administration withdrew from the WHO, the World Health Organization. Among other things, it directs and coordinates the world's response to health emergencies like global pandemics. Now, Governor Jared Polis says Colorado has signaled it plans to join the WHO's Global Outbreak Network. Polis says the move will help the state better connect to global early warning systems, which track infectious diseases. The state's epidemiologist says coordinated global disease surveillance and rapid collaboration will help the state identify risks sooner and respond with precision. A spokesman says the state will soon file a formal application. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
And in regional news, U.S. senators are expected to consider President Trump's nominee to lead the Bureau of Land Management tomorrow. The Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach reports some veterans are among those urging senators to vote no on Steve Pierce.
In 2012, the former New Mexico congressman and Vietnam War pilot said over 90% of public land is located in the West, and most of it is not needed. Statements like that don't land well with people like Janessa Goldbeck, who leads the Vet Voice Foundation.
So when Steve Pierce says we do not even need most of this land, he's not just talking about acreage. He's talking about eliminating veterans' jobs.
One in five BLM employees are veterans. Another issue, environmental groups are pointing to Pierce's ties to the oil and gas industry. He owns a company renting equipment to oil fields. His federal ethics disclosure says his wife will take over, though he'll continue to get investment income. The Western Energy Alliance and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association have called for a swift confirmation. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The hearing will be live streamed at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time on Wednesday. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.